Blog Talk Radio.
Someone else's fantasy. Someone else's fantasy. Not yours, not your dreams, but someone else's dreams or someone else's fantasy. Boy, oh boy, I tell you, that's a heavy, that's a deep phrase, a deep statement by this group. Like I said, they were popular, and that song was written back in 1977. It's called The Grand Illusion. Boy, I tell you, what a piece of work that song was. I don't know if those guys, the Sticks, knew the depth and the width of the song that they wrote at that particular point in time, but it's just spot on to the evolution of mankind, because it's always been a part of a grand illusion, and that's an amazing thing when you think about it. When you really, really think about, which a lot of people just don't stop and do, is think. That's really a deep thought. It really, really is. That from the beginning of time, you know, from the beginning of the conceptualization of mankind, of the mindset of mankind as a thinking creature or being, in someone else's fantasy. And that's pretty amazing. Even when, as the story goes of Adam and Eve, and Adam being tricked into eating the fruit, you know, from the tree, it was someone else's fantasy. It wasn't his own mindset and doing, as the story goes, but someone else enticed him, and the enemy, if you will, enticed him through his female partner to bite of the fruit from the tree of knowledge. And that was someone else's fantasy at that particular point in time. So that's an amazing thing, because here we are several thousands of years later, and we're still living under someone else's fantasy. It's pretty amazing. But anyhow, I hope everybody is doing well and blessed in their current condition. Stay positive. Regardless of your current condition, please stay positive. Change is coming. Change is absolutely coming. It's an amazing thing, the way it's all coming about. A lot of people don't know it. A lot of people can't see it. But it's on its way. It's on its way in a major way. The name of this broadcast today is July the 13th, Monday, the year 2015. I apologize for taking some time off, but I have some personal things and some other efforts to attend to, and I'm always helping people. I'm always reaching out and, you know, helping people, giving suggestions and guidance. I don't like to say advice. I just say suggestions and let them determine what goes from there. But when you're out there talking with, you know, influence, the people of great influence, you have to meet the call on every front necessary, and this is certainly what, you know, what it's all about, and turning people, you know, towards the kingdom of God, because that's what it's all about, the kingdom of Hollywood, of the Hollywood one. The name of this broadcast is "And the Flag Came Down." As we all know and have been looking and watching, and I told you this a long time ago from, you know, day one when the incident took place and, you know, the flag issue was up for discussion or debate, this is going to be done very quickly without much fight or hesitation. And they've done it perfectly. I mean, they really done a great job on the manner in which they approached and, you know, taking down the Confederate flag, the battle flag, the stars and bars. They did it. They did a very wonderful job at, you know, how they done this, the ceremony and the whole nine yards. Now, I thought it was very interesting and very nice. The guards that came in, I guess it would be considered the color guard that marched in. You know, I thought at first that they were coming in a little aggressively in their marching and their, you know, and their mannerism, and you know, as they marched towards the flag, since it was something that they were retiring. But after looking at how they actually done it, it really was nice. You know, it really, really was nice. The cadence was proper. They came in, you know, lowered the flag, folded it properly. It was very, very nice how they, you know, saluted the flag and they marched off and presented it to be placed in a museum where, you know, it should probably be placed. And see, while I was out on in absence and stuff, I was actually out canvassing and getting, you know, insight and perspective from pretty right wing or pretty right thinking people. And when I say right, they're very conservative. And it was amazing how, that even though that they were a very conservative and they were, you know, all, of course, all Caucasian, all white people, it was interesting how that they, in my presence or in the presence of this conversation, you know, now whether they shared the same conversation in other forums, you know, I don't know. I really don't care. But they all agreed that, you know, the flag should come down. They also said that they would probably, you know, continue to support the flag in their own personal space, which is perfectly fine, not a problem at all. Like I said, it was. Hold on, just a second. I just had to write something down. Cool, but it was. Like I say, the ceremony was nice. It was very nice. Now, there was a point in the ceremony that I was just totally, totally ashamed, totally, totally embarrassed. It was extremely poor taste. I can understand the cheering when the flag came, was coming down. That was, you know, inspiring. That was kind of, you know, made your heart kind of, you know, do its thing and stuff like that. And then they started chanting USA, USA, USA. I thought that was nice. I thought that had good taste because this is what America is all about. It's about everybody, all included, all inclusive. But when they started saying the na-na-na-na, na-na-na-na, hey, 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 goodbye, I was utterly ashamed. I was extremely embarrassed. It was so immature and so childish. And I'm glad that someone there in the audience, you know, in the group, you know, hushed that nonsense, because this is a very painful moment for pretty much, you know, everybody that had a sentiment towards the flag. Now, me, myself, I have no sentiment towards that flag simply because I understand the overall purpose for slavery. You see, and we're going to touch on that, because once you understand the purpose for slavery, God's ordained purpose for slavery, you know, you will understand that it was a blessing and not a curse. You see, it was a part of a curse for turning our face away from God, but at the same time, you know, some people had to be the characters that played out this prophecy. They had to be. Okay, so we're going to touch on it. But when the flag came down, like I said, and they started making that little chant, now that right there is like pouring salt in an open wound. You know, it was just a horrible display of behavior. And I hope and pray that there becomes a public apology, because just like the people that forgave this young man for killing the 9 people there in South Carolina at the church Bible study, they immediately came out and forgave that young man, and that was huge. You see, that's the power of God. But see, what that did was it set the whole framework, it set the whole course, you know, for things to come. You know, had that been dealt with and retaliated against with protests and anger and hatred, this the ceremony of the flag being taken down, I don't believe that it would have occurred as quickly. But when I seen that they forgave this young man instantaneously, this is the spirit of God. This is God's presence. This is God's spirit. These were definitely, you know, God's children. You know, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. This is what we're forgetting and missing in all of these activities that are taking place in protest. You know, that who are the children of God? You see, are we being and representing the children of God? It's clearly there. It's clearly all spelled out, you know, in our existence, in our human existence. Like I say, folks, we are spiritual beings in a human existence. Okay, this is what this is all about. How are you going to be received in the kingdom of heaven? He is testing us on every level, every day, and all times, you know, on our spirit. You know, he's testing our hearts. Are they pure? You know, are we the peacemakers? This is why these events, you know, take place. This is all a test. The mortal experience or the human experience on this earth is all about a test. It's all about being tested on where you will reside in eternity. You see, this is what this is all about. There are all elements and aspects of this is what it's all about. And how do I know that? Because we are all spiritual beings in a human experience. This is how I know that. How are we spiritual? Well, the Bible says is that he breathes air into the nostrils and man became a living soul. A living soul. That means flesh, I mean spirit, the soul wrapped in flesh, living. The flesh dies. The living flesh dies. The soul continues forever, for eternity. We have to determine in our human walk, in our human experience, how and when and where we are received in the kingdom of heaven, or if we are to be received in the kingdom of heaven. Not everybody that thinks they're going is going, period. It's not a very large place. But the pure in heart shall see God. The peacemakers shall be called the children. Can you imagine the kingdom of heaven in disarray? In your, I don't care if you're black, white, red, brown, blue, green, or purple. Can you imagine the kingdom of heaven in disarray? No way. God Almighty will not allow it, will not stand for it. Yeshua came as a representation of the spirit, the soul wrapped in flesh. And, you know, he came to as a teacher on how to be received in the kingdom of heaven. Now, the flag came down. Nice to everyone, with the exception of the nonsense. I hope and pray, like I said, that a formal apology will be given unto the media, unto America, unto the world. It only shows how big we can be and how righteous we can be, you know, as the children and the chosen of God. Okay. Now, this flag was supposedly represents hate and support of slavery, to maintain the maintenance of slavery. At that particular point in time, slavery was in place. I watched a little thing on PBS this weekend about Lewis and Clark, the discoverers, explorers Lewis and Clark. That was a phenomenal documentary, very nice. It told me about Sacagawea, which I really heard about. I've seen her on Currency, but I didn't know her influence and how important she was in the discovery of the new land, you know, going west toward the Pacific Ocean, a 4,000-mile journey and trek that 40 people took on, 40 people in that 4,000-mile trek in the barren land, untapped, untouched land. 40 people set out on that journey, 4,000 miles from somewhere towards, you know, to the Pacific Ocean. But out of those 40 people, only one person died. Only one person perished in that journey. And he was kind of sickly, you know, in the onset anyhow. But that's phenomenal within itself, you know. There were some strong folks to go through the all the wilderness and to deal with the Native Americans, you know, that were already in place and doing their thing. And you know, it was amazing that the majority, I mean 95% of the Native Americans welcomed this new-looking man. They'd never seen a white man before. But their instantaneous, you know, behavior and heart was peace. And welcoming him, like one part said, that if we eat, you eat. And if we starve, you starve. That means they like brothers. Even though they've never seen these people before, they welcomed in with open arms. Now, what was done in return and reciprocal to the Native Americans by the Caucasian was pretty bad. And keeping it real, in reality, the footprint of the Caucasian, man, is pretty rough. You know, the plight, you know, their journey and conquerors and things of that nature is pretty rough. The Bible, spells it out too, pretty roughly in terms of describing these people. You know, our brothers, you know, the Caucasian brother. And it was interesting when I was sharing some things with my youngest daughter. She said, "Well, it's pretty explanatory why they're the way they are, because they did come from such a rough region, you know, of the world, geographically and climatically speaking. It was a tough going, and you know, they had to kind of be barbaric in nature, simply to provide." To survive, I mean, so I can kind of, you know, side with that. And everybody has its purpose. See, don't no man walk on the face of the earth without his purpose. You know, everyone has every race, not every race, but all people have a purpose in the human race. I don't say that. Don't nothing sneak up, you know, on God or the Hollywood without him already knowing and without it already being written. We have to live through it. But anyhow, I was talking about, you know, the battle about slavery and the flag and things of that nature. Now, why do I say that slavery had its purpose? And, you know, it was basically a biblical event. And it's something that was, you know, overseen and ordained by God himself. Now, simply because, now, if you recall in my earlier broadcast how the children of Israel, you know, and I'm talking about the ones certainly in Egypt, had turned their face away from God, okay? And what God said was, if you turn your face away from me, I'll turn my face away from you, okay? Let's just go ahead and read. Let's just go ahead and read our scripture here, Leviticus 26 and 23. Leviticus 26 and 23. Now you can read, you know, up ahead of that if you like, because it's a great testimony as well. But we're going to just jump down to 23. For time's sake, but do read all of 26, Leviticus 26, because it's right in here. And if ye will not be reformed by me, by these things, and what he's talking about is his judgments and his commandments, you know, and it says, if ye shall not be reformed by me, that means by God, reformed unto God, and walk by, but will walk contrary unto me, okay, contrary to his will, his commandments, and unto him, and I will bring a sword upon you that shall, then I shall also walk contrary unto you and will punish you yet seven times for your sins, okay? This is where we are, people, in all of our behavior and all of our activities, and, you know, where we are today as the children of Israel. This is where we are today, okay? And I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant, and will ye are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you. I will send diseases among you, and ye shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. And ye shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. Okay? This is the onset of slavery. Delivered unto the hand of the enemy. And I will have broken the staff of your bread. 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you to your bread again by weight, and ye shall eat and not be satisfied, okay, and not be satisfied. And if ye will not for all have hearkened unto me, but will walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury, and I will chastise you seven times for your sin. God saying, I will chastise seven times. And ye shall eat of the flesh of your sons and the flesh of your daughters as in starvation. Now, this is the diaspora. This is coming across when things got so hard. You know, there was some, you know, some horrible things taking place to survive. And we hear and read of these things. It is what it is, and it was what it was. And I will destroy your high places and cut down your images and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. And I will make your cities a waste and bring your statutories and to desolations, and I will not smell the sweet savior or the savior of your sweet odors. And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies will dwell therein, shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you amongst the heathen and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate and your cities a waste. Now, a scattering, I will scatter you amongst the heathen. This is what's important right here. Who are the heathen? Rough, barbaric, behavioral people. Scattering is a forced event. This is not a voluntary event of such as migration. This is a forced event. And this, we are the only people that have been done in this manner, in this way, here in America. Okay? This is where it ties into the biblical aspect of slavery taking place, being scattered amongst the heathen. Then the land shall enjoy her Sabbath as long as he lieth desolate. Now look at Africa, lieth desolate. Okay, and it's in enjoying her breathing, her Sabbath, because there's no man there to destroy it. To dishonor basically the land and stuff, so it flourishes. And ye be in your enemy's land. Okay. Now the scripture says enemy's land. All right. Even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbath. Okay. In the enemy's land, I mean you're no longer in the land of Africa, in the continent of Africa. But, you know, you have been taken and scattered in another land, okay? And for the sake of the spiritual discernment, the scripture says enemy's land, but this is not, you know, our enemy. He is our brother. But he has a rough behavior, you know, because of the origin and the migration and things of that nature, and the past of the Cro-Magnon man. As long as it lieth desolate, shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbath when you dwelt upon it. And upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into your hearts in the land of their enemies. Now, and the sound of the shaken leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee as fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when none pursueth. Now, our hearts have become faint. Okay, we are not the pure in heart. You know, our hearts have certainly become faint as a people, as a human race, and in particular to the children of Israel. And it says that, you know, that you shall be like a shaken leaf to chase them, and they shall flee as fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when none pursueth. Now, the sword has become the gun, okay? The sword that they speak of here in this day and time has become the gun, and we fall when none pursueth. You know, if you notice, you know, we as a people are always looking over our shoulder for some reason. You know, for some reason, if you just observe, you know, African-American people, if they're out walking or whatever the case may be, they either looking over their shoulder or they're carrying an object to defend themselves from something. You know, it's either a club, a stick, or a golf club or something. When they're simply out to enjoy a nice walk, this is what this is talking about. This is what this is referencing. And they shall fall upon one another as it were before a sword, and none pursueth, and ye shall have no power to stand before your enemies. There was a day and time when we were not armed, and certainly they had guns and weapons and clubs and sticks and stuff like that to attack us. And to, you know, like if you look at the Edmund Pettus Bridge incident, you know, one people were heavily armed and the other were not. And you see the result thereof. And you shall perish amongst the heathen, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up, and so forth and so on. Just like I got 60 seconds. Love one another, take care of one another. It's the right thing to do. It's what God wants to do, simply because God is love. Love is a powerful word. Love is what it's all about, because you certainly have it to overcome all of this stuff that's going on, all the stuff that's taking place. Okay, at 40, so 26 and 40, if they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass, which they trespass against me, okay, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, unto God, and that I also have walked contrary unto them and have brought them into a land of their enemies. Here we go again. And then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, okay, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, as also my covenant with Abram, will I remember, and I will remember the land. The land also shall be left them, and shall enjoy her Sabbath For I see lies desolate without them, and they shall accept the punishment of their iniquity, because even because they despise my judgments, and because their soul abhors my statutes, and yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly, and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. But I will, for their sakes, remember the covenant of their ancestors. Okay, now here's where our correction is, folks. For all mankind, and especially the children of Israel, the chosen children of Israel, which is the only people that have been scattered amongst the land we don't know, scattered amongst the heathen. A forcible event, not a voluntary migratory event. Okay, but I will, for their sakes, remember the covenant of their ancestors, and here's the key word. But I will for their sakes remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the heathen, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. Now, the key word here is their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. Who are our ancestors here in America? Trace it back, right to the west shores of Africa, around Sierra Leone and all that region right there, in the west coast of Africa, you know, during the diaspora, the 60 million people that were forcibly scattered amongst the new land, or the land that we knew not, amongst the heathen, as the scripture would say, would describe. There is only one people on this planet in history that has been done in this manner, okay? These are the children of Israel. These are the children of God, okay, the chosen. Now, this is not, and we have a purpose by being placed here. And our purpose is to bring all mankind back unto God, to correct. Once he's correct, here's our correction. But when you ask for forgiveness for your iniquities and turning our face away from God, you know, he will then at that time, for the sake, remember the covenant of our ancestors, of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. Now, this is so profound and so heavy here, because this was written thousands of years ago, and here it is applicable to this day and time. Right now, these are the statutes and the judgments and the laws which the Lord made between him and the children of Israel in Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses. Now, folks, this ain't me. This ain't me talking. This is the scripture talking, and it's got to be a God ordained writing, because it was written so long ago that to be foretold to here and to today, you know, it has to be an all knowing mind. It has to be an all knowing spirit for this to take place and to be so accurate and absolute. There's no way in the world it can be done by happen chance. There's just absolutely no way. But this is a clear description of who we are and what we represent and why we're here, why slavery had to take place. It was a prophesied event. You see, prophesied by the word of God himself. You know, so it had to be a people to participate, to be characters in this particular activity, for the sake of God and for the salvation of all mankind. If there are heathenistic people that you are being scattered amongst and throughout, then your purpose has to bring the heathenistic way back into a pure in heart, or a children of God, the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. This is our mission and our purpose. This was the purpose of slavery. And if you look at it in this way, in the right manner, in the right light, you will see the blessing of this event and not the curse or the hatred in this event. Because you're going against something that is ordained and and put in place by God himself to bring mankind back unto him. The heathen would remain the heathen if it was not for the righteous being scattered throughout. You see? And he is about the salvation of all of his children, not just the children of Israel, but the heathen and any and everybody else that has ever became a living soul. You see? So this is what this is all about. All right? Now, so let us rejoice, you know, in this, you know, for it is the will of God. Then we're going to jump right quick to Greece because it's kind of interesting how all this stuff ties together. Greece has gone through a financial altercation where, you know, their banks are closing down or, you know, not giving out money and so forth and so on. And they say Greece is a very small country and doesn't really affect the world economy. Folks, I want you to go and just go to Wikipedia. Just go to Wikipedia and read and just click on and type in Greece for just Google Greece and go in there and read about it in Wikipedia. It's very profound. Okay, Greece is very, very influential in the world economy, the world event, and is one of the first. Let me just read this right quick. Greece is strategically located. Let's see. Let me make sure that I want to read the right part quickly. We may not get to the song that they closing talk, but that's okay. The modern Greek state, which was established in 1830, okay, the diaspora was around 1800, so that's all intertwined there, folks. Pay attention to the dates and time. Following the War of Independence, from the Ottoman Empire traces its roots to the civilization of ancient Greece, okay? This is ancient Rome, ancient Greece, which is considered the cradle of all Western civilization. Folks, now this is heavy. As such, Greece is the birthplace of democracy, Western philosophy, the Olympic Games, Western literature, historiography, political science, scientific and mathematical principles, and Western drama, including tragedy and comedy. The cultural technological events of Greece have greatly influenced the world, have been imparted to the East through Alexander the Great's conquest, and the West via the incorporation of the Roman Empire and the succeeding Byzantine Empire. Furthermore, the Greek Orthodox Church transmitted Greek translations to the wider Orthodox world, are shaping the modern Greek identity. Greece's rich legacy is also reflected by its 17 in UNESCO World Heritage Sites, among the most Europe and the world. Now, folks, if that's not heavy influence in the world's evolution, I don't know what is. So whenever they're talking about Greece as a very small economy and don't affect such and such, so and so, this is. You can't be the birthplace of democracy and Western philosophy and be considered a small part of the world's economy. At all costs, this is going to determine the outset of the leveling or the balancing of the world's economy. You see, this has to go down. The rest of the world that is up must come down to a leveling. And when you're talking about a one world order, a one world economy, or trade, you know, they have to balance the trade mechanism of the currency. So this is what's taking place, folks. This is what's taking place. I don't want to blindside or anything like that, but we're getting ready to go through an economic shift. That's why I tell folks that hear my voice on the other side of the world to hold on because change is coming. That particular part of the world is the world focus now and will be resurrected, you know, into a prosperous land here real soon. It's underway right now. Okay, this is also prophesied. Bobby Zandel, he don't get it, but he said that, you know, he even said that Greece is a part of the democracy, and we can't destroy it. On Fox News, watch for Dr. Ben Carson, folks. I told you this a long time ago when the guy declared that he was going to run for president. Watch this guy. Because the reason I say that, he has got the right message, the right philosophy, the right mindset to correct a whole lot of things here in America. And you know, they got Donald Trump out there kind of leading the way, clearing the path. But when he said, when Dr. Ben Carson really starts rolling, really gets things going, there's a lot of people, even all the right people that I talk about on the right wingers on the side, they're behind Dr. Ben Carson, believe it or not. They are behind his philosophy because of how they think. And it is, you know, correctness of America. We do need to tighten up the borders. We do need to, you know, look at different things of immigration. We do need to, you know, change the welfare system. We do need to change the penal system and the prison system and things of that nature. Like I say, I always tell folks, let's just cut the air conditioner off in jail, in the prison. You know, that right there will save America a whole lot of money within itself, and prison should not be a pleasant place to stay. You know, not unless it's a conspiracy to bring people in so they won't be accounted for in society. Now, it's either one or the other, you know. And if prison's supposed to be a prison, do it like they do it up in Siberia and make it a harsh, hard place if people don't want to come back. And that's true reform. You know, once you go, you see how tough it is, you won't want to go back because, you know, you walk the straight and narrow. But anyhow, we're going to touch on that in later broadcasts and stuff, but I just kind of want to put that out there. Watch Dr. Ben Carson. Like I say, he's asleep. I call him the sleeping the dark horse, pun intended. But he will come with a hard charge, and I think I'm almost certain that he's going to be, as soon as they can wrap their head around it, the candidate for the Republican Party. He will give Hillary Clinton the hardest battle, as it appears in the presidential race. Of course, that's already decided. We know that, but he will give the best appearance in the presidential race down the home stretch. So anyhow, that's my broadcast for today. Love one another. Take care of one another. It's the right thing to do. It's what God wants to do. Why? Simply because God is love. Till the next broadcast, take care for now, and so long.